Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We're doing snap reactions, wide receiver position here. I went through, took some notes. I didn't do every single wide receiver, but listen, I think there's some things you need to know in sort of setting your lineup, preparing. COVID's an issue, obviously. We've got all these things going on. So I went through all the depth charts. I want to give you, top couple headlines, basically. And there's, I think, a couple I just sort of passed on that weren't totally relevant. But here's what we got. So 6 receptions by Rondale Moore in the last 3 games. That's since the Week 12 bye. I think it's tough to trust him at this point. You see in the snaps down as well. So I just don't have a ton of trust in that at present. I'll tell you who I do trust in this offense, Christian Kirk. In his career with Kyler Murray, 41 games. With DeAndre Hopkins, 24 games, 3.6 receptions on 5.5 targets, 48.5 yards. That's a full season split of about 11 points per game, 58 receptions, 77 yards, 7 touchdowns. So you say, okay, like that's fine, like contributor, but not really fantasy relevant, right? That might be someone you want on your team, honestly. Like if you sort of had good fourth wide receiver, like that's excellent. But not someone that you're starting in fantasy. Without Hopkins, totally different story. And this is since Kyler Murray's been there. 17 games. So 5.4 receptions per game on 8.1 targets. That should be glaring in our heads. 8.1 targets, that's what we want. 7 to 8, 7.5 is even better. But, 8 is, that's a really good threshold to hit. So when you sort of look at that, you see a big difference in terms of his productions. He's up 10 yards without Hopkins, and that's a 87 for 928 and 4 touchdowns is his split there, is a full game split there for him without Hopkins. So I do think that he is someone that you can trust. He has 12 targets without Hopkins this week, 994 and a touchdown. So totally take that. 4 for 64 with AJ Green. You'll take that as well. I think you can start those two guys pretty confidently in the lineup, in wide receiver 2 to 3 range of your position. And honestly, if you have them, like they might be, with the way some of the stuff COVID's going, this could absolutely be something that you're trusting these guys down the stretch. But I feel pretty confident actually in AJ Green. I know that would have been a punchline 6 months ago, but I do feel confident in him and Kirk as well. Not so much in Rondale Moore. Atlanta, Russell Gage, 11 targets this past week. He goes 8 for 91 and a touchdown, 11.3 expected points per game on the season, 11.2 points per game, so performing right at expectation. With Ridley on his career, 5.8 targets, 3.8 receptions, 40.4 receiving yards and about a quarter of a touchdown. Without Ridley in 11 games, 7.6 targets, 5.4 receptions, 55.3 receiving yards and about the same touchdown. So you do see, a little bit more than 2 points more per game without Ridley. So that's definitely an improvement, and I do think he's taking a step forward. I talked about this in a prior episode. I think it was maybe last week or the week before. He's going to make it tough to surpass him as a wide receiver 2 in this offense. So they have a lot of other issues that they need to address, but Gage has performed to the point that I think he's I'm not necessarily sure I want to bank on him as like a top 30 dynasty wide receiver or anything like that. But I think he goes beyond just, oh, I have to get rid of him because he's going to go to 0 level. Like, I don't necessarily think you need to do that with him either. I think back, maybe like 5 years ago, honestly, it was probably about 5 years ago. Kamar Aiken was a guy who kind of ended the season a little bit Russell Gage-ish. But when I sort of looked back on it, Gage was much more productive. Aiken was point scoring, but he wasn't really productive. I think Gage is much more productive, and that was a situation that, like, I think that given it all, like, he's not in a situation where he's going to be a wide receiver 1. He's going to be a wide receiver 2. He's a little bit more palatable if you get Ridley back, it gets a little bit more palatable to have Gage as a two. You know, if Ridley were to retire or something like that, he's going to get additional competition. But we sort of expect that competition coming back. But I don't think it's unreasonable to think he'll still be productive. Again, is he posting, you know, top 20 expected points next year? Probably not. But is he a wide receiver 3-4 range that you feel that has a decent shot to get through the offseason without a ton of competition? That is one that I would think so. So, yeah, I wouldn't be just bailing on him if I have him in the offseason just to bail. All right, so Hollywood Brown, just an incredible feat this past week. It was about 48, 49 dropbacks for Baltimore. He was targeted 14 times. This is incredible. He had 10 receptions for 43 yards. So he was targeted 14 times. He caught 10 of them and managed less than a yard per route run. It has to be a record. It just has to be a record of, you know, you have a market share north of, 25% targets. You catch more than 2/3 of them and you have less than a yard per route run. That's like almost impossible to do. So I tweeted that out. That's just something I thought. Notably, Bateman was a team high in routes in this past game, but only two targets. I have a really hard time trusting him at this point. And I think he's going to be one where some of the yards per route run work that I've done, thinking in sort of that context, I might reset the clock with him. Trade him for same price I got, sort of refresh. And you'll sort of see as I do a little bit more content book related, I got to get through the end of the season, finish writing the book at some point. But once I ultimately do that, I'll talk more about that. But that's one of the ones that he's really pointing in a direction like, all right, maybe we flip the switch on this situation and reset, because the yards per route run as rookies does show up as being a pretty important thing here to watch for. So, Buffalo, Gabe Davis over the past 2 weeks, 83 and 90% snap share. That's just one less snap than Diggs. Since week 10, he's at just short of 2.6 yards per route run behind JJ, Justin Jefferson, Cooper Kupp, and Jalen Waddle. So, yeah, top five production over the past, we'll call it 5-6 weeks here in terms of his actual production. Again, now you're putting out Beasley, and you've seen a pretty stark rise in his. I caused a brief, it was very brief. It actually caused myself to go back and check the news. So someone asked me, and I'm recording this Monday, I'm recording this at 11 o'clock Tuesday evening. And so in Tuesday during the day, I had put out, someone had, I think it was Jeff actually in the chat said, why is Davis is much more productive now? What's going on with that? And I said, he's running more routes with Sanders. I said, he's running more routes. And then I think in the next one, I put Sanders is out or something to that effect. The message in the group me said Sanders is out, which caused everyone to read that it was actually Miles Sanders was out, was the funny part of it. So everyone was like, Miles Sanders is out? ? And then I'm going back and I was like, well, that seems like news. I got to go check that. And little did I realize that people were misinterpreting my thing and then making me think that Miles Sanders was actually out. I didn't even realize what I had. Caught a brief tremor, if you will, which was quickly rectified, and so we had some fun with that. But yeah, Emmanuel Sanders out, and now Cole Beasley out. So I do think there's a chance, and I was taking some notes on the COVID stuff. So one thing that does concern me with him is that as Beasley ended up on the COVID reserve list this week. And when you go back and actually look at the history of the Bills' COVID reserve list, from Sharp Football Analysis. So thanks to them for putting together this tracker. It's really great in terms of tracking prior placages on the COVID list. If you go back and look in August, Cole Beasley and Gabe Davis both ended up on the COVID reserve list as close contacts. Now, that would mean that they were unvaccinated at that time. We know that Beasley was by his own personal statement. if you are vaccinated, you don't get put on the COVID list for a close contact. That is the benefit of not being on the of being vaccinated. The only reason I bring that up is now that Cole Beasley has tested positive, you have Gabe Davis sharing a position room with him, presumably, and he has Beasley. It's my understanding that he has actually reported that it is a positive COVID test. He's not a close contact. It gives me a little bit of pause that a Gabe Davis close contact situation could pop up this week if he has not been vaccinated between that last time and this time. So piecing together the dots here a little bit, that's just something I would watch for, you know, here over the next few weeks. I was just sort of scanning the COVID streets, if you will, and that was just one thing that I saw, just to keep an eye on. But I think Gabe Davis is actually trending in a really interesting way. He could find himself into a wide receiver two situation. We'll talk more about him in the offseason, but Sanders expendable, also Beasley, I think, is probably as good as gone because his contract wise it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to bring him back at his number. So we'll see there. I think it'll be interesting to watch for. DJ Moore, you know, 10 targets this past week, 6 for 48, like, could take it. The quarterback situation is just dismal, but he's pretty productive, and it hasn't really much mattered. So he's a 2 yards per route run guy pretty much his entire career, a little bit up, a little bit down. I think you can pretty much bank on who he is. The problem is, like, it would be really nice to have some unlocked upside with an actual good quarterback, but I'm not sure where they find that on the upcoming horizon. Robbie Anderson, 8 targets, 3 receptions, 29 yards this past week. Just pretty disappointing. Only guy you're going to really be interested in here is Darnell Mooney in Chicago. Damir Bird's another one, I guess, if you're super, you know, in the weeds, needing some help on the waiver wire list. With Allen Robinson posting up on COVID as well. So that'll be something to watch for, but I don't really trust anyone there. You don't feel great about going to that well in your fantasy championships. Chase, Higgins, and Boyd, all different levels of fantasy productive, all over 12 points per game here in the past 3 weeks. Not the order that you would expect, though. Higgins 1, Boyd 2, Chase 3. Expected points per game from them over the past three weeks, wide receiver 44 for Chase, wide receiver 23 for Higgins, and wide receiver 50 for Boyd. You know, when you look at that, it is actually, they're all outperforming that. Boyd quite significantly outperforming that. He's between Higgins and Chase. So some of that's some touchdown variance as well, but I think it's notable that you get a lot of these. You know, this is the thing, like, when people are like, oh, look, what Chase is doing, and he's, you know, he's younger than, you know, when Justin Jefferson was doing all these things, like, yeah, take a full sample. Take a full sample and reset. And this is a classic case why these, you go through situations like this, and even if you believe it's random, you know, there's the social science experiment about, you know, the professor asks, or, you know, you go through a whole list of, you know, which one of these is random and which one's not, you know, which one was actually randomly derived versus a input by a person trying to simulate something random. And you can always spot the one that is random because it was drafted by an actual person instead of actually being randomly observed. And that is because it's, you avoid some of the clusterings. Right. And so, you know, there will be, you know, 7 heads in a row if you're truly doing it random. If you are just putting together the numbers, like, you wouldn't necessarily make it that way. You'd make it much closer to alternate than you would go 7 in a row, like, that far in, because you're trying to simulate it being random. And we know that they're 50-50 shots. Well, when you look at wide receivers, like, you get a really, really hot start, you kind of know, like, hey, like, even like 60% of these games being like starter games is really good. So when a guy comes out and that's all he's doing for the first like 10 weeks, like this is, you know, if 6 out of, you know, 7 out of the first 9 games are really high end, or, you know, they're top 24 type production, like, That's good, but you got to remember, like, that's typically not a sustainable outcome, especially when you have high touchdown variance. So just a reminder there on Chase. I think Higgins is really interesting, too, going forward. He'll be an interesting player to contextualize here over the long term. All right, we're dealing with COVID issues everywhere in Cleveland. Donovan Peoples-Jones, wide receiver, 33 in expected points per game, has targets over, and that's in this last few week stretch here. His targets in the last 4, 5, 5, 7, 8. We're waiting for Landry to come back. We do have all sorts of issues with the tight end position as well, with Hooper out after Joku being out before. So, and we've got Baker, we've got Keenum. I think Keenum or Baker should be back this week. It's not going to go back to Nick Mullins, but a lot of uncertainty there. And I think I trust Landry, and I think Donovan Peoples-Jones is more of a, like, I sort of I got to take a shot in the flex. That's kind of the position I'd feel him be most appropriate with. Dallas, over the last three games, Amari Cooper is expected wide receiver 60 in points per game, expected wide receiver 9 for CeeDee Lamb, and expected wide receiver 30 for Michael Gallup. When you look at it, Amari Cooper right about at expectation, Lamb a little bit under expectation, and then, Gallup there in there as well. What's interesting about Lamb, I was doing some diving, and I think some more of these stats will be really relevant in the offseason. I think they're going to give us some more signal. As we get into more of this PFF data, I think we'll have some more nuanced looks at some guys that I think some really interesting contextual historical stuff too. But when you look at CeeDee Lamb, you see he's seventh in terms of the routes, the percentage of his routes that he's actually been targeted on. So he's been targeted on 24% of his routes. That's seventh at the wide receiver position amongst qualifiers. It's really good. Probably he's only run about 73% of the dropbacks he's running routes on. So just troubling there, I think, is the volume perspective, and that's something that with Gallup and Cooper there, like, you can even think that Lamb is the best guy there. And except that is true for a second, it's tough to see him getting to the fantasy price that he is at with his volume. So that would be the only pause that I would have on him. I think he's a really good player, but it gives me a little bit of pause that he's not getting the full workload yet. Judy, he's a clear three in routes run. He's behind Tim Patrick. He's behind Cortland Sutton. I mean, what's your out there? Like, that's the question I'd have about Judy. What's your out? Like, if I can get what I paid for him, smash. Like, do that a million times over. I think people have this connotation of him, and this is a good example of, like, you can be successful as a pro, and maybe, like, you hit, there's different lines of success. Right? There's different measurements for what succeeding is, right? You make a decent living, like, that's good. Like, you become, a starter, that's good too. Like, you go to a Pro Bowl, like, all these different things. Like, you win a ring, like, there's these different thresholds of success. Like, is he going to make a decent living? Yeah. Like, is he going to be, like, good? Yeah. Like, is he going to be fantasy difference making? Like, I don't know. He's stuck in running the third most routes on his team. And, like, that's, like, that works when you're Lamb, but not when you're Judy, right? Like, when you're Lamb and you're playing in a high-powered offense and you are a super elite guy, and just with Judy, you're not either of those things. Like, it's a tough – that's tough to see, and they've committed a ton of money in front of him. They have a really good core of guys. I struggle to see how he's going to be super valuable here, in the going forward. Let's turn over to Green Bay here. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, last four games, seven targets. He's averaging four receptions during that time, half a touchdown, two games north of 95 yards receiving. A couple of duds in there with a 50 and a 20 receiving yards, but has been able to ring the bell. So if you're looking for a high variance play, he's one that, he's been available in some spots. I left him on a bench this past week, as a matter of fact. So, he's available depending the depth, and is a player that could potentially help you there down the stretch. Davante Adams, 18.9 points per game expected on the season. He's expected points per game is top five at the position. Wide receiver two in actual points per game at 20.7. Death taxes. Brandon Cooks is a top 20 wide receiver. He goes 10 targets, 7 receptions, a buck or two, 2 touchdowns, top 15 at the position. Surprise, surprise. Laquon Treadwell over the last 4, he has 8 targets, 5 targets, 6 targets, 9 targets, 4 receptions, 4 receptions, 4 receptions, 6. So 3 straight 4 receptions games and a 6. North of 53 yards in each of those games. So no touchdowns, but like that's a decent floor projection. So actually not terrible. When you look at Kansas City, Tyreek Hill, we'll deal with the COVID stuff. It's going to be an interesting watch this week. You know, I recorded it before all the news came out, but I think Noah Gray could potentially be a guy we look at that I'll hit up in the waiver wire show when you're done listening to this, or if maybe you've already listened to it. But I don't have a ton of good answers for you. It's not that I don't think Mahomes will be good. I think Mahomes will be fine. It's that. And maybe it takes a little bit of the ceiling off Mahomes, but it's I don't necessarily know who the other person is. I mean, I think that'll be one of the things that'll be a concern here going forward in terms of trying to identify who will be helpful. You know, Byron Pringle, maybe someone like that. I think probably be my most likely shot, and maybe he's accessible. But otherwise, it's tough to really peg any. Any specific one of these guys as being the guys to be the answer, because they just haven't consistently been that. And it's tough to see how it's going to change now. Keenan Allen, expected wide receiver in the top 8 on the season, just outside the top 24 for Mike Williams on the season. In expectations, he's just inside the line in points per game. So his expected points per game is 13.3. His actual points per game is 14.5. So hugging that borderline there, and a really good solid production and of expectation and actual production for Keenan Allen right in that wide receiver one zone. A guy that's going to be an interesting buy candidate in the offseason again. Zay Jones is averaging 7 targets per game in the last 4 games, but here's the kicker. 18 receptions, 172 yards, and 0 touchdowns. That is 1.26 points per target. Not good. I know that stat does regress. If you added a touchdown into it, it'd feel different, but ultimately, I mean, you're looking at less than, even if you added a touchdown in there, it's 10 points per game. So we kind of know what Zay Jones is, and it's not really it. All that much. All right, so Miami, the Fuller situation, we could speculate on it. I just don't know. He's out for the year. I hope he didn't lose a finger in the process of his rehabilitation. That's kind of one of the things, and some other things have been speculated about. Like, I just hope he's okay, because it gives me concern that it's gone on this long. But Devontae Parker targeted on more than 21% of his routes this year. He's actually been really good. I don't know if it's super high on fantasy production, but listen, he's good enough to be like a wide receiver too if he's healthy on a team that's like on a good team. And you look at some of these teams that could use a guy like that. He would be the answer to some of the problems in like Miami or in KC, for example. Like, he would be a really interesting guy on the opposite side of Tyreek Hill. So we'll see here going forward what if he can stay healthy and what his longevity looks like. But I think he's an interesting player, and he's probably been better this year than I thought he was, if that makes any sense. I didn't have a huge, and I don't think he's super impactful fantasy wise. But he's more of a matchup play. He's good enough to play like when you need him in a situation like this, but he's probably not someone you're glomming on to play. You know, as I'm sort of doing, writing some of this core asset, non-core asset work for the book, He fits me. He fits in that contributing, probably not in the contributing line of actually like what I define as a contributing asset, but it's fine because like the line is super, the slope is super soft at that range of the position. So, you know, so that's it for him there. So, you know, we'll be watching that, and you get a Waddle on the COVID list as well. So watching that news here over the next few days. All right. Let's see here. Minnesota, Justin Jefferson's wide receiver one, watching Adam Thielen's return. But other than that, not much to talk about. Nelson Aguilar, he's fallen behind Harry in snaps, less than 50% of snaps the last couple weeks, 28 routes for Harry to only 19 for Aguilar this past week. So that's not great. Wide receiver 37 in expected points per game for Jacoby Myers. He's at 9.9 actual points per game. Kendrick Bourne is more like a wide receiver, 6.7 in terms of expected points, but overperforming that quite a bit, to basically 11 points per game. So again, Bourne's probably more of a fade than anything would be what that would tell me. Marquez Callaway, for the Saints here, 9 targets, first time since week 9 that he's had more than 4 targets. Pretty much what I have to offer you on that. Sterling Shepard has a torn Achilles. Kenny Galladay and Slayton next up. I'm not sure who I can trust there. Ultimately, I think, you know, maybe either one of them is like a what the heck, like flex wide receiver 4 type projection. And you got Fromm, like DJ's out for the, you know, Daniel Jones out for the year. So lots of questions there. And concerns. Elijah Moore for the Jets is on injured reserve. Crowder's really the only option, but it's not super impactful here. You know, in recent weeks either. So, I mean, he's one that. You could see yourself force getting into play, but sort of, as you could tell by the tone of my voice, I'm not super excited about it. Deontay Johnson's really good. So wide receiver 6 in expected points per game with a quarterback that everyone thinks sucks. That should tell you something. 18.2 expected points per game, 17.7 actual points per game. So again, that's the type of profile you want to shoot at. Be really interested to see what his value settles in at the offseason. He could definitely be a recommendation of mine here in the offseason. Chase Claypool, wide receiver 34 in expected points per game. He's underperforming that. He's expected for 12.4 points per game. He is scoring 11.3. Deebo Samuel expected for 14.5 points per game. He's scoring 20.7. Ayuk's pretty up and down. Like, he had a down game this week. He had a good one last couple weeks. I think they're both interesting guys. I have questions, and you know, we talked about this in the group me chat, and it was some joking in there as well, but some seriousness of how do we sort of feel in this, about him versus, I think it was DJ Moore was the guy that we were talking about. And it was very much, like, I have questions about Deebo. Like, I think he's really good, but why are they putting him at running back, basically? I mean, I think it's something like, you know, in the last 4 weeks, there's only been really one game that he's had more than 23 routes. Like, that's not good. Not good. And that gives me a lot of pause. So there's, I think, reasons to be really optimistic, which is he's extremely productive on a per route run basis. But for a variety of reasons, he's not running routes. It's, you know, some pacing issues, some volume issues, some run split issues, and honestly, it's like some deployment issues. So that's with him, like, he needs to be like one of the most efficient wide receivers in the league to be, difference making in fantasy. And like, he's proven that he can do that. He's a very high end, productive, efficient player, on a route run basis in particular. But, that can really come down. If that comes down at all, right? And if it comes down, like, let's assume it settles halfway between this year and his career average, right? You're seeing a pretty decent, you know, chunk in there of, that's like 4/10 down, right? I think his career average is about 2 in terms of yards per route run.
And he's up at like 2.6, 2.7 this year. So if you just cut it and, you know, give him 2.3, which is still really good, that's a sizable decrease here. And gives me a little bit of pause with him in terms of him long term. So that would just be the overall caution that I would have, and I don't trust Kyle Shanahan either. So okay, a couple more notes here in terms of Tampa. So Mike Evans may miss some time. Tyler Johnson, probably the guy I trust most. Gronkowski, really. This is the wide receiver show, but that's. It's like I, if you were to tell me who's the guy you trust most at Tampa, it's Gronk. It's Gronk, but I don't know, you know, what the return status of Evans is as the time of recording, which is Tuesday night. So I think that's definitely a thing to watch for here over the next couple of days. Is, you know, there's some thoughts that Evans could play this week, so we'll see. I'm not sure they have a ton to play for. They're gonna probably lock up a two seed here. I mean, I think that's probably the thing they have to play for. They're either going to be a two or three seed. So do you want to play, you know, that game on the road or at home? I think is a question that maybe they'll have to decide. But I could see them holding out Evans in the have to be cautious type of decision making process. Okay, and then Tennessee. So you got AJ Brown. He's on the return watch, and Julio's out. So. I think A.J. Brown could be interesting here down the stretch. Provide a little shot in the arm. If you've gotten through with him on your team as a contender, like, I'm not sure how much I love starting him his first week back, but like, if you need it, you might need it this week with some of the COVID stuff that's popping up around the league. You got to be attuned to that, but I could definitely be an interesting addition, a late trade acquisition, if you will. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode of Wide Receiver Snap Reactions. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.